Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Everybody, what's up? Back in the feed and it feels so good.
Gosh, I'm a little nervous. Do you think that I remember how to make a podcast? It's been at least a couple of weeks. At least a couple. I'm supposed to talk into the microphone. That's how it works.
It's like riding a bike. You want to actually straddle the microphone and then pedal it. I think.
I guess we're officially back. Hello.
Yay.
Welcome to a very fun little, what would you call this? An interstitial jaunt? What's the business term?
Yeah, I keep referring to it as a sherbet course.
Great. Yes, a palate cleanser.
It's a palate cleanser in between courses, if you will.
We are doing a little mini series here on a show that we love, so much so that I've watched it twice and Jenny's watched it, I don't know, 14 times. How many times have you watched Yellow Jackets?
Like three times. Four times.
Yeah. So we're putting on our rewatch hats for a quick rewatch, because there's only one season to be rewatched of the show Yellow Jackets that aired on Showtime. And we're doing it in anticipation of season two, which is coming in 2023.
We actually, not to alarm you, but we're about to transport you into the past, because this little mini series originally appeared exclusively on our Patreon feed, but now we are bringing it out into the light, sharing it with all the good people, because we miss being in the feed and because we love this show.
Hell yeah.
And because we're working away in the background. We've got great, enormous plans.
I thought you were going to say great big plans. And I was like, Jenny, you have a song for that.
I deliberately didn't say that specific phrase because I didn't want this to come up. But now here we are.
That's what my role is here at Buffering a Rewatch Adventure Studios.
Mission accomplished yet again.
A fun treat for you all is that Doom Coming, that's the title of this here podcast, is going to air every week. So you're going to get an episode every week for the next 10 weeks as we go back through the series. Jenny mentioned this aired in Patreon, so you are going to hear us talk to our patrons, because when we initially made this, we were making it for them. So now you know. Now you'll know what happens behind the curtain. We also talk about...
Indeed.
We also talk about a Discord channel. We do have that Discord channel. It is called Doom Coming. It is in the Buffering Discord, but that Discord is just for our patrons. So at any point, if you want to join the Patreon family, you sure can. You just go to patreon.com/bufferingcast.
There's actually two Discord channels, a Doom Coming channel and then a What's the Buzz channel for spoilers and Reddit theories.
Yes, and that's a great point. I mean, we'll probably talk about this in the main episode as well, but look to the show notes if you've not seen this show before, because we will tell you the timestamps where the What's the Buzz segment happens, and that's where the spoilers are. So you'll know because you'll hear Jenny's delightful jingle, but you'll also know when to pop back in. Jenny, a couple of other things. Tis the season.
Tis perhaps the season more than tis ever been in the past.
You literally for a second sounded just like Sarah Jessica Parker in Hocus Pocus 1. tis the season where I see tis the season written everywhere and constantly think it's a reference to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and then remember that tis the season did exist before Faith Lehane said it.
Unconfirmed.
There's also some pretty exciting shit in our store. Do you want to tell the good people some of your favorite items, Jenny?
Oh my goodness. Okay, for the first time ever, we have made Buffering the Vampire Slayer wrapping paper. There's four colorways, two designs. One of them is the Smash Lizard, and the other is a little Tis the Season business. They're both gorgeous. We've also got a cool new leatherette ornament with the Smash design on it. It's green and gold. Very, very cool. We've got two, are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
Two versions of a Scoobies Forever tee. We've got a long sleeve with the Scoobies Forever down the sleeve and the little skull on the chest, like in the pocket area. And then we've got the full logo with the rockers on the back of a short sleeve tee. They both look extremely cool. I'll tell you what else. Mm-hmm. We really went for it this season.
We really
because
did.
Tis mm-hmm. the season. We've got the Yowler cat, the iconic Yowler cat on a new corduroy hat. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but corduroy is really what it's all about this season.
Yeah, I just want to say that Jenny and I get merch that we want, and I feel like we have great taste. So good job, us. The fucking long sleeves are printed on fucking Champion shirts, so just put that in your pipe and smoke it, god damn it. Also, the short sleeves are comfort colors. It's just like, listen, okay, it's cool, it's good shit, and you can find it all at bufferingthevampireslayer.com. the ornament, the socks, the long sleeve are all in the UK store as well. Okay. Couple of updates from the land of Patreon. Right around the bend, we've got our live watch of the episode that you might know. Jenny likes to quote it a lot. It's about righteous men and whether we are or are not them.
It's also about it being tis the season.
Yeah, it's amends. We're going to watch it as a group in the Patreon Discord on the 10th of December.
Yay.
And also that very same day, we have a book club, the last of 2022. We're reading Nona the Ninth. This whole series of books has been incredible, and we are reading, this is our third in the series. And there's something else happening in Patreon in 2023, which we want to just tell it, tease just a touch. We're not going to give you all the goods right now, but some.
The exact details, the whens and wherefores, are still clouded and shrouded in mystery, but we can tell you that for our beautiful patrons, we are going to be making special bonus podcast episodes where we read through the canonical Buffy comics in 2023.
Yeah, that dark horse shit, right?
That dark horse business. Kristen's got a real foul mouth.
I know. I spent 24 hours in the company of my mother and now just can't stop cursing. So
I'll do it.
I was immersed in Long Island. I mean, she doesn't even live there anymore, but you know, it'll always, you can take the girl out of Long Island, but you can't take the Long Island out of the girl.
True.
I think that's all we have to tell you here in this intro. We're pretty excited to start this Yellow Jackets journey with you all because this show fucking rules.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. To those of you who haven't watched it yet, you're in for a good time. It's a hoot and a half.
Hell yeah. I would say it might even be two hoots.
Oh my gosh.
Why did we suddenly at the end of this introduction become the SNL skit about NPR? This muffin is delicious, Jenny.
Two hoots. Yeah, well, clearly things are devolving here, so why don't we get into the episode?
Yeah, let's do that. Also, if you've never heard this podcast before, buckle up for my favorite piece of music Jenny Owen Youngs has ever written, which is the theme to Doom Coming.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Wow.
Buzz.
Here we are buzzing that we thought the day would never come.
And yet here we are. Hello.
Did you want to say and welcome?
And welcome
to a podcast to full coming. Of bees.
So many bees.
Hey. Yeah, you're right, Jenny. What's the name of this podcast?
This podcast, we're calling it Doom Coming, for reasons that will become clear later.
It's a spoiler-free podcast, as is our way.
Indeed.
About the first season of a little gay show called Yellow Jackets, set in New Jersey, a state that has a lot of meaning to both of us, but one of us in particular.
Jersey strong, baby. Not Jersey born, technically, but Jersey raised. Jersey proud.
Where were you born?
Nobody can hold me down.
Pennsylvania?
Yeah. But I moved to New Jersey when I was like 3. So all of my consciousness, essentially.
Yeah.
Or all of it until I moved to New York was Jersey based.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I'm a New Yorker, so I've always had the cousin of New Jersey sitting right.
Oh, yeah. New Yorkers love to claim New Jersey when it's convenient, when a cool show is set there. Sure, now. But previously, I distinctly recall
hearing
things like bridge and tunnel.
I did not claim New Jersey. I literally referred to it as my cousin. Next door. Yep, just that guy next
sounds
door.
Like a claim. Like, sounds
I kind of got your number, Jersey. You know, it's like I kind of know what you're
indeed.
About, and you kind of know what I'm about. Like, we're just here, New Jersey and New York. Like,
okay.
Siblings that like definitely want to fight each other, but also like at the end of the day, love each other, right?
Okay. If that's yes. I mean, I'm a anti feud.
Yeah.
Pro good vibes, but I'm still human. I can only take so much mistreatment. And as essentially a Jersey native, you know, the mistreatment I have endured up to this point in my life is significant.
Well, Jenny, I would like to establish this as a safe space for you, as a person from New Jersey. I respect Jerseyans. And I respect your state through all of its good and its bad. I feel in New
York. If you're from Jersey and you're listening on Patreon, drop a little NJ heart in the comments. Do it for me. Do it for Jenny.
The J in NJ stands for Jenny. New Jenny. New Jenny, New Jersey.
That's right.
All right, so here's the deal. This is a show that is spoiler-free. So if you've only watched the pilot of Yellowjackets, you're safe here, but we're going to try something that we're kind of borrowing from the pod that really inspired it all for us, right? Or one of them, which is Storm of Spoilers, which was then The Storm. And they would do The Storm and the Calm, or The Calm and the Storm, right? The Calm is where...
Spoiler-free...
Yeah.
Zone, and then a little spoilery segment at the end. Kristen, I just came up with a segment name. I can't remember if we previously agreed on segment names, but I have an idea for what we could call the spoiler section.
Hit me.
Inspired by you.
Oh, I love it already.
What if we call it What's the Buzz?
Wow, so the thing you made fun of me about, I get it.
Yeah, but I feel like you had a different idea for it, and I feel like this really is
this
the
is
thing.
Where it is, yes.
Dream work.
We had considered calling it The Locker Room, but I like What's the Buzz. That's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
What's the buzz?
So, you know, I mean, because basically, so here's the deal. I watched Yellowjackets. I don't exactly remember why. Maybe somebody told me to watch it. The internet, Joanna
Robinson. I'm sure
Robinson,
somebody told you to watch
knows?
It.
And I loved it. And I was like, Jenny, you have to watch this show. And Jenny usually does not listen to me when I tell her to do things. Read books, watch
but
shows.
But then
what happened, Jenny?
But then I got COVID and all I could do was lie very still for 2 weeks. And so I ripped into this show at long, sweet last.
Yeah. And Jenny has a particular Jenny-ism about her where I'd say once every 4 to 6 years, something just hits right. And then that's all Jenny thinks or talks about for like several months.
Once every 4 to 6 years. Okay. 1 to 2 times a year.
No, not
I fall
like
into
this.
A hole.
Not like this. Not the last time this happened was Game of Thrones, and the time before that was probably Human Centipede. Okay. So just saying, this level does not happen as often as the, you know, you have mini bursts, but like not like this. This was like deep.
Right.
Jenny watched the show and then watched it all over again a second time. And like while doing this was just immersed in Reddit. So like all I ever got was text messages from Jenny Owen Youngs being like, here's another Reddit thread. Did you read about this Reddit thread? Did you read this Reddit thread? I would like to talk to you about this theory.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well,
so, yeah.
I think there were probably like 3 unaired episodes by the time I started watching. Something like that. 3 or 4. So I like binged and then patiently waited each week and just spent a lot of time on Reddit between episodes.
Yeah.
And then once it was done, I watched it again.
Yeah, so
all
this
over
is
again.
Your third watch.
Because I wanted to like get in the vibe. You know, I really wanted to like steep.
Yeah.
And think about the possibilities.
And this is a fun show. I mean, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I was really obsessed with watching this show because it hit so many points of like nostalgia for me all at once. I mean, I did not grow up in New Jersey, but as previously mentioned, I grew up in New York. We are both kids of the 90s. The music, I'm sure we will talk about in this conversation and future conversations, is like wild to me. It just like never stops. The hits never stop coming.
Yeah.
And then there's like this intrigue, mystery, possible cannibalism of it all. Plus we get these like iconic performers playing the roles of the 2021 girls, right? So like it's just for me, it was just like such delicious fun from the beginning to the end in every way. And I am very excited to talk about it with you, Jenny, in a professional format instead of just you screaming at me on a text thread about Reddit.
Yeah, you know who was born in Point Pleasant, New Jersey?
Who?
Tawny Cypress.
Oh.
AKA Adult Thaisa.
Oh. But there's more than that, right? Are there
You know...
Yeah. Okay, calm down, Kristen.
Let me take you on a little tour. Okay. Was Christina Ricci born in Santa Monica, California? Yes. But did she go to high school in Montclair, New Jersey? And also elementary school? And also middle school?
That was such a weird journey through her schooling.
Sorry, I was reading her. I was scanning her Wikipedia backwards. I knew that she went to Montclair High, but she also went to Glenfield Middle School and Edgemont Elementary. I lived in Montclair, New Jersey for a time, so no big deal. We're basically friends.
So that's two out of our, how many adults do we have? Four? Five? Five.
We've got four adults kicking in this episode,
plus
right?
Allie.
We've got.
Don't forget about Allie.
Okay, well, actually, let me tell you something, Kristen.
Yes.
Allie is actually, adult Allie, who we know later as adult Allie, is actually only credited in this episode as... Guess what she's called?
Oh my God! What? A hot tomato sauce.
Wine lady.
Wine lady.
Aww. Wine lady.
But yeah, four. Okay, so four main. So we have four girls from the soccer team that are adults in this episode. We have Misty Quigley. I remember her last name because I have relatives with the last name Quigley.
Yep.
So we have Misty, played by Christina Ricci, as an adult. We have Thaisa, who you already talked about, Ty. Mm-hmm. We have Natalie, played by Juliette Lewis, the best mouth to ever smoke a cigarette on television in history. Mm. Find me a better cigarette smoking mouth, please. And we have Shauna, played by our darling, Melanie Lynskey. I don't know. What do you think the public's like relationship to Melanie Lynskey is, or at least was, like before Yellow Jackets exploded? Because I feel like as queer... people, as queer women specifically,
we're all like, oh my God, but I was a cheerleader.
Yeah, and like Heavenly Creatures,
yeah.
Melanie Lynskey was such like an indie queer darling for us in the 90s and the early 2000s.
Yeah, and then more recent, I mean, she's been in like a bazillion things. She was also in Castle Rock, which is a sort of Stephen King adaptation series. That
was that the Alzheimer's series?
Could you be more specific?
The one with Sissy Spacek in it.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay. It's all coming back to me now. I watched that when it was fresh, so it's been a handful of years. But I remember there is a particular moment in that. I think it's the first. I think there's a couple seasons at least of Castle Rock now, but this is just the first season. This particular story, and there is a moment where like everything kind of comes together. Things have been kind of like nebulous and strange, and then everything kind of comes together in this very particular moment, and it centers around Sissy Spacek, and it's fucked. It's like so intense and so beautifully executed. I can't say any more than that. Because I don't remember
spoilers
enough,
for
and also because you should just go watch it.
But yeah, Melanie Lynskey is like amazing. I mean, she's just fucking amazing. I mean, all of these, I think that the casting in this show is fucking phenomenal. I actually don't think that I have a single complaint about any of the casting at all, ever, throughout the whole.
She was in 63 episodes of Two and a Half Men.
Oh, I never watched that show, but I'm sure she did a great job.
She was also in Over the Garden Wall. Sorry, she was a voice in Over the Garden Wall, which everybody should watch if you haven't seen it. It's short and sweet and amazing.
I also want to let you know, since you were naming folks from New Jersey, that when I did a little digging on the music supervisors of this show...
Who are they?
Their names are Jen Malone and Whitney Pilzer. I'm not sure if that's you pronounce Whitney's last name. Who were also, these two were also music supervisors, they're music supervisors on Yellow Jackets, but they also helped on shows like Euphoria, Zola, Atlanta. So they are, really good at what they fucking do. And Jen Malone grew up in New Jersey in the 90s. Just saying, a lot of Jersey in this show. And that's I love it. So... probably since this is the first episode of Doom Coming, we should talk to you about the fact that we're going to be just like chilling the fuck out in this space, you know? Like, we're like watching the episodes and we're...
Kristen's going to demonstrate how chill we are by a casual deployment of the Gerund version of fuck.
I just want folks to know that, like, we're watching this show. Jenny has watched it 3 times now, maybe 4. I've watched it 2 times, maybe 3. And we're just going to, like, hang out in the space. We're going to try to break our buffering format of scene by scene and talk about our feelings as they come to us. So, buckle up. Get a cocktail or a mocktail. Put your fucking feet up and just let's talk about Yellow Jackets.
Okay, what does this episode have to offer us? You know, Kristen, maybe it would be cool. Do you want to talk about everything that happens in the wilderness as like one kind of little zone?
Sure.
Because we get a lot of like chop chop, right? And it's all cut up through the whole episode. And we've also... both seen the entire series a couple times now.
Right. And I have, and to your point, Jenny, about talking about like things in the wilderness, I have 3. I'm laughing at myself because I'm like, we're so chill. And then the thing I said right after, we're so chill, is I actually have 3 colors that I use to code my notes.
I actually did the same
thing. Did you?
Yeah.
Because one of the most powerful things about this episode, what we'll stick there, is the fucking like format of this shit. Because it's not just 96 2021, right? It's 96 nostalgia, 96 trauma, and 2021. Like, and the 96 trauma is like wilderness. That's the woods. That's like all the shit that's happening in the fucking woods. And it's colored red in mine. What color's yours?
For the wilderness, mine is green.
Oh, my green is 96. My green is 96. Fun 96. What's your 96?
I actually didn't differentiate between 96 and 2021. I just went with green for the wilderness, yellow for important narrative / things that I like stuff that I want to touch on, but that's just sort of like serves the general narrative thing. Blue for needle drops and pink for anything Laura Lee says or does.
Oh my God. Wow. Okay. Great, 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 great. I just have red for wilderness, yellow, orange for present day, and green for 90s. And then I used the font.
Oh my God. You changed such fonts.
I used the font Courier New for the things that I was like, you have to talk about this thing.
Incredible.
So that's the behind the scenes look at what the fuck we're doing in our notes. But yeah, let's talk about the wilderness. So this opening scene, I don't think it's like a spoiler to say that this opening scene is really important. And if you've seen the whole series, you've probably come back to it. We've all come back to it. This is a big deal what happens in this opening scene. It's winter. there's a girl. She's running.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear my verbatim notes for this?
Yeah, yeah, hit me.
Yes, winter. That's how it starts. Then it says, running barely clothed through the woods, whispery ghost voices, animal noises, bones, caw-caw, but is that a human caw-caw or what? Falling into a pit, one bloody foot. Oh, yeah, that girl is dead. Necklace. What do you think?
That is really good. I have just one sentence.
Oh.
One complete sentence.
Okay.
Including parentheticals. and a dash. Okay. Pit girl with the heart necklace. Dash. I have a hard time believing she'd land so perfectly impaled by so many wooden spikes, especially the one that's through her elbow.
Yeah.
Oof.
That she'd be, as she appears, instantly lifeless. Where is the twitching? I just, maybe it's a, you know, standards and practices. I don't know if they knew that they were going to be making the show for Showtime when they made the pilot. I'm not sure production wise whether they made a pilot and shopped it or if they just shopped like the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
But it just feels a little too immediate to feel
like
realistic.
Her death feels too immediate.
Yeah. And
I mean, a lot of the scenes in the wilderness, I think, are unclear.
You think they're deliberately misleading? Well, I'm just saying we see her laying there completely motionless, makes me think
her little hand is twitching
just ever so slightly. But I feel like it's not enough. It's not
enough
for me.
When I rewatched it, I was like, OK, but is she dead? And that's why one of my notes is, OK, yeah, that girl is dead. I don't think that I ever quite calculated how many places she had been impaled, but
yeah, yeah. But you know what? We're moving fast. We're trying to establish a lot.
This was an incredible opening scene. Like, we're rewatching it, but I remember watching this opening scene because I, like you, Jenny, watched it when there were several episodes. You had more than me, but I had five and I just tore through them. And this is a hook for me anyway. I was just like, oh, fuck, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah, like if we're going to stay in the wilderness, even before we leave, like the first wilderness scene, but in general, we get this really fucking eerie, creepy as all get out, like fur and antler and otherwise amended outfits that are on these girls in the wilderness. Like, it's creepy. It's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, the blood in the footprints.
Yeah, just one.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, anything is possible, but it seems like, you know, perhaps this was a deliberate release and hunt.
Right.
And maybe we'll cut your foot so you're easier to track.
Ooh,
maybe,
God. Oh,
maybe
fuck.
The foot is cut. I mean, very realistic for the foot to be cut in the course of
running,
you know, a chase, an attempted escape or whatever. But
unless that's where your head is definitely watching this, right? You're like, oh, these girls are fucking hunting each other in the woods because they need to eat each other. Like, that is where you begin. That is where this show wants you to begin. And whether we'll all be there by the end, I don't know. But like, that's definitely what this feels like, especially because other things we see in the wilderness are them eating hunks of like freshly cooked meat.
Also suspending, like hanging the corpse of a woman upside down and bleeding it.
Yeah, also that. Also just fucking slitting the throat of this girl we are to believe that it's this girl. I don't know.
Now, yeah, hang on. Is it meant to be that girl? Because hang on one second. Let me just... Oh, this is exactly the kind of thing you don't want me to do on our relaxed, chill show. Look things up while we're talking. Uh-oh, Kristen's gonna get mad at me.
Also, we know fucking Misty is in the wilderness chomping on some fucking meat because she's the only reveal that we get in the wilderness at the very end. She lifts this, like, skin, fur face.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's
after they've
feasted. Chapped-lipped Misty.
Yep. And she gives an eerie little smile that's so creepy.
Ooh. My locations in the wilderness are bearskin faces Misty, cannibal fire, woods cannibal flash.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I guess that's it, except for the first scene. What were you looking up, Jenny?
I was just rolling back to the scene where they do hang up the young woman and slit her throat, because I couldn't remember seeing the spike wounds. But it looks like they're there. It's just she's just very blurred out. She's very, like, the focus is on very much on the foreground, and she's very blurry in the background.
So, yeah. So there's, if you put all the wilderness scenes together, they've given us a girl runs through the woods, falls into a pit, is impaled, while someone else wearing pink Converse and also a fucking co-ed naked soccer shirt is, which I have a thing to say about that shirt. But then that they're all sort of eating piles of meat after stringing up, we are to believe, this same girl and bleeding her out. But nothing is clear, right? Which is really, come on. That's the whole fun of this show, is that nothing is clear. Are there other things that you want to talk about in the wilderness specifically, Jenny? Because I kind of want to take the nothing is clear into 2021 when we're done with the wilderness.
Can we talk about Co and Naked Soccer for a second?
So
for those of you who weren't alive in the 90s, just want to let you know that there was a series of television. There was a series of T-shirts that would be like co-ed naked fill in the blank. And then it would have a saucy little tagline. I'm going to read you some of the co-ed naked soccer taglines.
See if I can fill them in.
Okay. Co-ed naked soccer. You want me to like say the first half of the tagline?
Yeah, I need something because I don't know. I don't know them that well.
Okay. Co-ed naked soccer. Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. I don't know. What's that one?
On the grass.
That's stupid.
Okay. Co-ed naked soccer. Go hard.
In the grass.
Go hard for 90 minutes.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay. There's one that's in the buff. What's that one? Lacrosse?
I'm not sure.
It's just co-ed naked and then some kind of joke about doing it in the grass or with your sticks.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's every co-ed naked shirt.
Yeah. It was the same era as Give Blood, Play Hockey. We were having a lot
and
of fun.
No
with
fear.
T-shirts.
Second place is first loser. That's a shirt I actually owned for some reason. co-ed naked soccer, take advantage of scoring chances, and co-ed naked soccer, use your head to score.
What? Oh, wow. Wow.
So there we go.
So co-ed naked soccer was like sort of a subset of a brand that still exists. And the name of the overarching brand is Chowderheads, which you live in Maine. So I actually
home
picked
of chowder, famously.
Don't go to Chowderheads, because I've purchased you a hat from Chowderheads as the inaugural Yellow Jackets gift for us both.
Wow. Are we supposed to be getting each other gifts for every episode?
I just like when I did the research and I saw all of the Chowderheads merchandise, I was like, oh my God, Jenny would fucking love this shit.
Wow.
Jenny's now,
I can't
like,
wait to find out
Red
what happens
Sox
next.
Nation. So,
oh yeah, go Sox.
Yeah. So anyway, wow. That was our tangent on fucking Chowderheads, co-ed naked fucking t-shirts from the 90s. But something that we did not talk about, which is very important, is I believe your wife referred to it as Sisterhood of the Traveling Murder Necklace. Was that your wife or was that somebody else in the chat? Yeah.
That was good. Jess.
This necklace. So the necklace is on this girl who is dead in the pit. We know that. And we know that at the start of the plane ride, Jackie has this necklace on. She's wearing the necklace. It's Jackie's necklace. Okay.
Okay. But then she puts the necklace on Shauna.
Okay, let's talk about Jackie and Shauna, right? It's the start. It's the
God. Looking at Jackie, seeing Jackie through the Shauna gaze is a real thing. Yes. In Pride Month, no less.
The tail end.
Unreal.
Last day of Pride Month. Shauna is
slipping in under the wire.
Shauna's in love with Jackie.
Shauna looks an awful lot like she's in love with Jackie, but are we supposed to think that or not? Because a lot of the time that she's looking at Jackie, some of the time she's looking at Jeff, some of the time she just saw Jeff sneak out of Jackie's room, some of the time Jackie and Jeff are like canoodling.
I'm sorry.
I feel like the truth is that Shauna is in love with Jackie. But the show might be confused about that.
Maybe
fact.
The show is confused.
Unless.
But as a girl who has looked at girls like this, it is clear to me.
If that's not what you meant, you done fucked up because that's what you communicated. And, you know, it is an infamous move for a girl in love with another girl to sleep with that girl's boyfriend.
Clearly!
I've seen it happen more times than I can name.
If you can't get with the girl you want to get with, you get with the boy she's doing it with. That's the math,
people. As close as you can get.
We're queer experts here. We're here to tell you how it fucking works, and this is how it fucking... And also, like, she isn't just... Okay, so Shauna's fucking Jackie's boyfriend, Jeff, and...
Oh, my God.
She isn't just fucking him. She's saying, tell me you love me while you fuck me.
Yeah.
I won't hold it against you. So I won't hold you to it or whatever the fuck she says. I won't.
It's
not going to mean anything outside of this. So whatever, right? Sexuality is complicated. It doesn't have to be as black and white as just Shauna's in love with Jackie, therefore Shauna fucks Jackie's boyfriend, Jeff. But I think that's one really solid theory. And it is at least what's happening, regardless of why it's happening.
Nobody can say it's not nobody that's watching the show can say it's not happening.
Correct.
Jackie doesn't know what's happening.
So are we in 96? We're going to go all over the place, but I do want to establish that the soccer team is going to nationals. That's a key piece of what is happening with our 1996 soccer team. Did you ever play soccer?
What do you make of... I never did. I never played soccer. You played soccer?
I played soccer for 1 year when I was a sophomore in high school. I was not very good at it, but I played defense, and I got shin splints, and... Spent a lot of time sitting in the, like, what did they call it? It was like, it wasn't the nurse's office. It was like the trainers. I don't know. But they would wrap my leg. Like, they would, like, wrap up my legs. They would, like, treat all of the sports injuries before you go.
Oh, now I wish I did
practice.
Sports so I could get
really
my little
fun.
Injuries treated.
It was like more fun. The most fun I had was getting my injuries treated.
Yeah, yeah. We're both athletes at heart, of course. What do you think about the principal being interviewed in the present saying that some kids it wouldn't be a big loss if they went down in a plane, but because these girls were good at soccer, it's actually sad that this happened to them.
They were champions. What? They were champions. This,
sir,
actually,
you're speaking on the record right now
because we have.
Do you realize that?
Because we happen to be watching this show and also are, you know, experts in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I very much imagined the season 7 student whose head explodes. And, Principal Wood and Buffy, like, do not give a fuck. I'm like, he was not a champion. You know, he was not a
He wasn't a champion.
Nobody cared about that kid's head exploding. And, yeah, that's, I mean, it's a little more truthful than I think most principals would be, but it does seem in keeping with the general vibe on athletes in high school, especially in 1996, but probably still today.
Yeah.
You brought up the principal in the interview, so we can talk about the fact that, like, in 2021, there's a little investigating. It's the 25th anniversary of this chaos.
Do you think it's a spoiler to say that 25 years is anniversary pay dirt?
I don't think it's a spoiler to say it. I think you can say it, and if you know, you know, and if you don't, then you will. So
it's the 25th anniversary, and somebody's sniffing around. It's Jessica Roberts, allegedly of the Star Ledger. That's the newspaper I grew up with.
Wow, that's
no
fun.
Big deal. That's no fun. Big deal.
Yeah, but is she from the Star Ledger?
Because no, Shauna, she doesn't have a byline anywhere.
Nowhere. Shauna can't lady. Find shit on this lady. But this lady is digging. She's digging and digging. She's talking to somebody at a fucking nursing home who's talking about trigonometry. She's talking to the principal. She's talking to fucking Allie, who is more than happy to talk about how she could have been on that plane.
She's talking to Randy, adult Randy.
Randy, who I did not realize that was Randy when I first watched this television show. But because you're watching it with us, you get to know that is Randy, the infamous. She, of course, shows up at Shauna's house.
And insults her.
Yeah. Let's play. We're not going to do a lot of sound clips in this show, okay? Because Kristen's tired. But we're playing this motherfucking sound clip, Jenny.
I don't give a shit what you meant, you smug little bitch. You don't know a fucking thing about my life.
Wow.
Zero wow. 260.
Shauna. Wow. Shauna definitely.
Shauna said no prisoners.
Shauna definitely wins the sassiest award. Out of this crew, which is honestly, you have to fight for it. They are all pretty fucking sassy, but I think Shauna takes the cake. To Jessica's credit, she still leaves her fucking card. She's got a mission, I guess.
She wants that story. She wants
Shauna to write a book. We see that, like, this is not just a story in this community, because Shauna has a fucking copy of People magazine where this 25th anniversary is marked on the cover of People magazine. Yep. So this is a big fucking deal. And we learn through Shauna talking to Ty later at the diner that they are not talking. They've made a pact. They're not sharing their story. They are not fucking talking about anything, and they are staying out of the public eye. Someone has not listened to
that. Unless one of them needs to run for Senate?
I mean, Thaisa, that is the opposite of what you agreed
to. Thaisa, no.
Oh, God. So the four adults we talked about, right? There's Misty, who is working in a hospital abusing her patients, which is really upsetting to watch.
Yeah, hate that.
Thaisa, who is running for Senate with her hot wife and their son, Sammy. That's all we learn, is that they're a couple running and she's running for Senate. She's referred to as the queer Kamala by the photographer. Shauna, who is married now to Jeff and has a sassy daughter, just like her former sassy self.
Yep. You reap what you sow.
And Matt, who has been in some kind of rehab and is about to leave that rehab, but is trying to, like, fucking be all zen and shit.
Is she trying?
I mean, she looks like she might be trying, but who knows? Mm. Today's episode is brought to you by Regal Cinemas. If you're anything like me, you deeply enjoy going to the movies. Going to the movies is probably among my top three all-time activities. I love seeing films on the big screen. I also love being around other people who are watching the same movie with me at the same time. And of course, I love eating giant buckets of popcorn. If you feel the same and you like going to the theater, Regal Unlimited is something that just makes sense. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass. It pays for itself in two movie visits. You can see any standard 2D movie anytime, no blackout dates, no restrictions. When you want to watch a movie in 4DX or IMAX or RPX or ScreenX, there's so many ways to watch movies these days, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. And with Regal Unlimited, you don't only save money on the tickets, you will also save on your snacks. And as previously mentioned, I love snacks. The only thing that can make me love a snack more is saving money on buying a snack. Members get 10% off of all non-alcoholic concession items with membership. Regal Unlimited, all you can watch movie subscription pass. It pays for itself in two visits. So if you're planning to see two movies this month, join Regal Unlimited and sign up now. You can sign up in the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited. Sign up for Regal Unlimited using code BUFFERING and earn 10% off your three-month subscription. Please let us know about all of the movies you see and how the popcorn is.
Hello, my name is Alison Larkin, and I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of the Jane Austen podcast. This podcast brings Jane Austen's stories to the 21st century, along with commentary from me and conversations with fascinating people who all share a love of Jane Austen. And of course, we had to start with none other than Pride and Prejudice. So join me as we embark on a journey through some of the most wonderful stories I know. The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right. Yeah, that's the roundup. That's what we're working with.
That's what we're working with. Also, I would like to talk about the relationship of Jeff and Jackie, because it seems Shauna is enjoying sex with Jeff for whatever reasons that we may not ever learn, but she's enjoying
it. Yep.
Jackie,
having a blast.
By contrast, is not. Jackie fully, like, one of the first scenes is Jackie faking an orgasm so that Jeff will just stop touching her in ways that do not help her at all.
And the Academy Award for the best cut from a sex scene, hard quotes, to a toothbrushing scene goes to.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, I think that this scene, at least for me in my personal journey as a teenager who had sex, like, this, it just read so true to me. Like, this moment of just, like, awkwardly being in a bed, being like, I don't know, is it working? Is it good for you? Like, it just felt very real. Very high school sex.
What about the morning after the party, as everybody's getting ready to go to nationals, mm-hmm. and we see that the letters on the local business sign have been rearranged to say, "We're proud, our boys jack it." Does that ring true to you? Because that feels very true to me.
Very, very, very true. They're all, I enjoy the assemblage of this soccer team. The cast of characters in 96 feels really fun to me. And I think, at least in my high school experience in the 90s, reads pretty true to, like, the soccer team or the girls' lacrosse team. Because you have, like, girls who do not share anything in common except for the fact that they're on this sports team. And, like, there's Thaisa, who's, like, incredibly driven. And then there's, like, Jackie, who's chosen specifically by the coach, not for her abilities to play soccer, but for her abilities to, like, lead them, which we get, like, a whole speech by the coach about this, that, like, this is what her talent is. She's good at sort of, like, I don't know, carrying the flag, if you will, for folks mm-hmm. to follow. Natalie, who is branded as the, like, punk drug user, like, kid who doesn't give a fuck about fuck. Is that correct for now?
Yes, I am always saying, mm-hmm. there goes a girl who doesn't give a fuck about fuck.
She doesn't give a fuck about fuck. And they're all sort of, like, together for this one cause. Oh, and you know who we haven't mentioned yet?
Who's that?
One of my favorite characters. The goalie.
And who's that?
Van.
Oh, Van. Yeah, Van rocks.
Yeah, Van rocks.
I think they do a really nice job, a really admirable job of establishing the individual personalities of a pretty enormous cast within, you know, a 50-something minute pilot. And to your point, I'm going to springboard off of what you were just saying, that right after we see We're Proud Our Boys jacket, we get a little bit of a montage with an NXS cover over it. And this is what we see. We see Jackie packing her suitcase very neatly. Mm. Natalie smoking a cigarette through a trailer window. Laura Lee kneeling and praying in front of a picture of Jesus. Lottie alone at a huge dining table being served her prescription meds by a housekeeper. Van slapping her mom awake to give her a ride. Misty watching a rat swimming, and though we don't see it, ultimately, I'm going to guess, drowning. Thaisa saying goodbye to her parents. Her parents are like, remember, honey, the important thing is to have fun. While Thaisa is like, yeah, or the important thing is to ensure that your team is the best it can be by physically removing your subpar teammates from the running. Coach Martinez saying goodbye to his wife, who does not look like she wants to be kissed by him, and getting into the car with his two sons.
Right.
And Shauna reading her brown acceptance letter. When earlier in the episode, Jackie was like telling her what their what color scheme she decided on for their Rutgers dorm room that they'd be sharing.
Yeah. And earlier, Jessica was like, a Star Ledger Jessica was like, you fucking could have gone to Brown. So like we not only, this is why I think that this episode of television is one of the better things I've ever seen packed into 55 minutes, because you get like so much information. Like just from those three tiny moments, you know that Shauna got into Brown. She was maybe not going to go to Brown because she was going to be roommates with fucking Jackie, who maybe she's in love with. And also she never went to Brown anyway because cannibalism. But like that's, it's just so much. And I'm just really like agreeing with you that like we learned so much about these fucking characters in such a short span of time in this episode. So we get them all as adults, and I just want to talk about Shauna for a second, because I think we get the most of Shauna, right? Like Shauna is definitely the character who is, it's a team, but it feels like Shauna, there's more of Shauna than anyone else.
Yeah.
And Shauna, the first adult scene we get is Shauna on a bed masturbating.
Do we have to?
Well, I think it's important because, first of all, I remember my first viewing of this, and it took me so, like, there was so much flying at our faces when you watch this episode for the first time that, like, I truly remember the first time I watched this. I was like, what is this? Where is she? What? Like, I really couldn't put it together until later what I had seen. But Shauna is on her, masturbating on her daughter's bed, and the pan goes to the high school photos. And then, like, later we see her in the garden. She's upset about a rabbit in her fucking garden, and she fucking kills the rabbit later. There's a lot happening here. And I think, and, like, it's all also situated with the fact that we know that she has wound up with Jeff long term. So I just am, shining a spotlight on the fact that there's a lot of trauma here. And I think that some of the fucked up shit we're seeing, like, I, at least when I first watched this episode, I read the rabbit shit as just like, okay, so they like were in the wild for however long, and like you kind of have to make your peace with killing animals to eat them if that's what you're dealt. And also I kind of find that healthier than our relationship.
Yeah, than being utterly removed from it.
Right. And just like buying your meat and never actually thinking about like how that shit happens. And then with the like sex of it all, I think for me anyway, like my interpretation of this is just these girls in 1996, they're 16 years old, 17 years old, maybe 18 years old, having like beginning sexual experiences. And then we are led to believe that their life just becomes a pile of trauma. So I think that our relationship to desire is impacted by something like that. And so I take this scene to very much be like reaching back for anything that ever felt good, which is like before they got on that fucking plane.
I mean, it feels like there could be a possibility for some emotional arrest.
Right. Totally. Totally. I mean, we're not doctors, you know, but.
No, far from it.
But it does seem like these girls have been through a shit ton, and we've got 9 more episodes to explore that in. And seeing them all in 2021, we are seeing some of the remnants of what has happened. So,
yeah.
We haven't talked about
I love when she's watching Not Jeopardy and says, "I am Paradise Lost."
So Melanie Lynskey's comedy is so, like, her just like dry fucking bullshit is so fucking good.
I also love when her daughter, I mean, we don't get too much of Callie, her daughter, in this episode, but I love when Callie comes home and Shauna says, "Is that you?" And Callie says, "No, it's a marauding pack of thieves. We've come to burgle your 12-year-old desktop and all your ceramic bunnies. This house is full of bunny statuary." Something to note, since she also just killed a bunny.
Put that in your fucking Shanshu prophecies. Okay,
write that in your blood-spattered journal. Chris and I've been meaning to tell you, we do see a little sort of transparent, like, multi-page pan of what we discover is Shauna's journal from the back then. Mm-hmm. And there appears to be some blood splatters on it. And I wanted to tell everyone listening that once I wrote a short story when I was a kid that was in diary form that ended mid-sentence because the narrator was killed by some kind of wild animal, and I too smeared ketchup all over the pages to simulate blood splatter.
I never Thank did you. That. I feel ashamed that I can't live up to this story. All I did, which I know you did too, because if you lived in the 90s and had any kind of creativity, you definitely burned the edges of paper that you wrote on.
Naturally.
Naturally.
Yes, because it was an ancient text.
Jenny put her hand to her forehead like she was on a fucking fainting couch when she said that.
What's the most 90s thing about this episode, Kristen? And I have 2 options for you.
Oh, okay.
Unless you have a third nominee.
Okay.
They happen in close, like, quick succession. Is it Fruit by the Foot? Or is it Travis calling Javi a butt munch?
I'm going to go butt munch. And the reason is that yesterday I was at Urban Outfitters and Fruit by the Foot was being sold at the counter and it made me mad. So
so it's too soon to talk about Fruit by the Foot for Kristen.
It's just, they're trying to bring Fruit by the Foot back again, like a 90s relic.
Maybe it never left.
I'm not here for it. No, it's in fucking Urban Outfitters, which is just like, hey, have you heard of the 90s? The 90s is cool. So I'll go butt munch. But that actually segues to a general scene I would like to talk about, which, you know, goes over the course of many scenes because we're all over the place. This is, you know, we're like back and forth and all around. But there is a party and there are important things about this party. First of all, to your 90s point, I think as a child of the 90s, a teen of the 90s, that most of this is done really well. I think the music is like makes me really nostalgic. The dress, you know, like clearly it's like a like sparkly show, you know, it feels like glossy. Mm-hmm. But other than that, like it feels very 90s to me. But the party is the one place in this episode where it felt a little heavy handed to me in a way that didn't feel quite right. Because and it wasn't musically, everything's chef's kiss. But it's like when we arrive at the party, we have a close up of a keg. that pull like zooms out or zooms forward, and we see somebody smoking weed out of an apple bong or apple pipe, I guess. Mm-hmm, and then it like moves again, and there's like somebody walking by carrying a boombox. And I was like, okay, one too many, guys. That's one too many. 90s
okay, settle
buttons.
Down, settle down. It doesn't have to be all everything at once.
Right. Have I done keg stands in the 90s? Yes. Have I smoked weed out of an apple in the 90s? Yes. Have I had boomboxes? Indeed, I have. So none of them are inaccurate. It was just too many all at once.
There's also something that's very important that happens in the 90s, which is a locker room full of soccer team singing Shoop all together.
Yeah.
I once dated a goalie who came to a party at my house and Shoop came on. We'd been dating for a while, and all of a sudden she just sang every word to Shoop, and I was like, what?
I should have been a goalie, I guess.
Keeping this from me. So true to life, mm-hmm. goalies and soccer players know Shoop. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, mm-hmm. a question we have to ask now for a segment I'm naming Don't Drop the Needle is, Kristen, how far can you get through the lyrics of Shoop with me prompting you?
Okay, well, wait, are we spreading this out over many episodes, or you're just doing it all right now?
I'm just going to do some Shoop and we'll see how far you get.
Okay, so you're going you like, to say any... a few lines and then look at me to finish it?
That's right. That's okay. Right.
I'm so nervous, even though I know all of the words. Okay.
Don't be nervous. Okay. Here I go. Here I go. Here I go again. Girls, what's my weakness?
Men.
Okay, then.
Chillin'. Minding my business.
Yo, Salt. I looked around and I couldn't believe this. I swear. Oh. I stared.
My knees full with... my knees what did her like they buckled but I don't know my knees
oh Kristen
my knees
oh Kristen
my knees fold with gliss.
Okay, my niece, my witness, my niece.
Oh,
the daughter of my sibling,
my niece.
My witness.
Okay.
All right, so
I
this
kind
is
of get
that's...
credit for that.
Okay, so I think you did admirably.
Do we stop every time I fuck up and then the next episode we continue?
Yeah, I think that sounds good.
Okay.
Unless there's
my
a different
niece...
song that we want to explore the lyrics of in the next episode.
But I don't know any lyrics to any songs except for Shoop. So it's my niece. Wait, my niece, my witness is the lyric?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, like with God as my witness.
Right. No, I mean, I understand contextually.
My niece.
I just okay. always thought it was something about her knees, and I just never knew what it was. Okay, back to the party. I want to talk about the party more. Jenny, there are other things about this party that I would like to talk about.
Yes, tell me.
Well, one of them in particular is that we get the scene before the party where Jackie and Shauna are together in Shauna's room. Great room, mm-hmm. by the mm-hmm. way. Like, everybody's dream
oh, yeah.
room is Shauna's room.
Very
it's like
cool.
in a fucking like loft. It's like, it's very cool.
Yeah.
But in it, as they're getting ready, Jackie's like, you should really wear the red dress, the boob dress, she calls it. And mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Shauna is like, go fuck yourself, Jackie. I'm gonna wear what the fuck I wanna wear, Jackie. And then she wears the red dress to the party, which I feel like is very important. And again, like really succinct storytelling. Really
yeah.
fucking succinct, you know?
Yeah.
And then I also think two other things about this party stick out for me. One is fucking Nat getting so high and us getting really trippy. Big fish, little fish, where like if you don't know this song, what do you think is happening? You know what I mean? Like if you've never heard this song before in your life, do you think it's just like a haunted soundtrack? Like do you think, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean that's what I thought when it came on Z100 the first time I ever heard it, and I was like, what the fuck? My radio was haunted.
But I love it. I love it so dearly as a music choice for Nat.
Oh, yeah.
Just like
perfect.
Looking at her friends' faces melting. It's really mm-hmm. good. The other piece of this party that feels really important, even if it's a little cheesy, is that there's a fight. I didn't bring down whatever Thaisa says to Natalie at this fucking party, but it's something like,
oh, I have it.
You have it? Because it's good.
Don't you have a bong to hit or a dick to suck?
Don't. High school?
Boom.
Burn.
Roast hit.
High school? Burn.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And also, like, so, like, there's all this conflict about, like, Allie's injury and Thaisa's involvement in it. And most of the people we know on the team are in the loop, but sweet, gentle Laura Lee, who never did anything wrong in her life,
is
just like, what are we talking about, guys? And everyone's like, shut up, Laura Lee. And I would like to say no to that. Protect Laura Lee at all costs.
So
I love her.
Something, and then I want to go back to the party, because I do want to talk about this, like, Jackie herding everybody into a line situation. But we've talked about, like, Allie breaking her leg kind of tangentially. We talked about, like, Thaisa's intentionality, whatever, but we haven't really talked about it. And I just, like, the episode is set up, and the girls, a lot of the girls on the soccer team are like, wow, Thaisa just fucking breaking Allie's leg so that she doesn't go to nationals, because the general vibe is that Allie is younger than the rest. She's not as good at soccer, and they don't want her to play. Thaisa especially doesn't want her to play. Nat is like, we're a team.
Nat's like, she's a freshman. And Ty is like, she's a liability. Saying what teens always say when they're talking about their soccer teammates.
Like, normally I'd be like, yeah, the teen wouldn't say that. But, like, knowing
but probably Thaisa.
Yeah, Thaisa definitely fucking said that shit. But I just, like... I guess I understand that the girls think that this was intentional. I don't actually think that I don't think that Thaisa wanted Allie to break her leg. I think she was being fucking rough with Allie and, like, wanted Allie
and trying to, like, shake her up.
Yeah.
And
but I
inspire her to greatness, perhaps.
Right. And it didn't go well. It went horribly wrong. But OK, I just wanted to check in with you, because I was like, does everybody think that Thaisa did this on purpose? I don't necessarily, but okay, yeah. I'm putting a pin over here because we need to talk about, like, the Misty of it all for a minute. But before we do, I just want to finish the party, which is that also at this party, after this fight, they're fighting. The goalie, Van, gets involved. You know, she's like, break it up, break up. Van is, like, the most amazing goalie of all goalies. Like, she just really occupies that space very well. But the girls are fighting, and Jackie is the one that is like, get your shit together. Yellow Jackets over here. You know, and she, like, lines them all up. And she tells them that they have to, like, the assignment is,
say something nice about everybody else. And Laura Lee is like, you are beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. And you are beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. And I love her.
I know, Laura Lee. I mean, honestly, we're only in episode one, so, like, we have a journey to go on. But even from the jump with Laura Lee, I think her character is treated really quite nice. Like, I really like the treatment of her character, because it isn't this, like, oh, this girl likes to pray, so all the other girls make fun of her kind of a story. You know, like, they really have space for Laura Lee. They laugh about it and they, like, make fun of her in ways, but it feel, at least to me, and maybe this is, like, I don't know if it's a spoiler, it's not, but, like, in my soul, I feel like they love Laura Lee, you know? And I get that.
Yeah,
even
their relationship
to
her feels wholesome.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, they dismiss Laura Lee from
her. There's definitely this vibe, like we were just talking about before, like, they're all coming from very different places, but they really are a team.
Yeah.
A lot of respects, not just on the field.
Yeah. 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 They're tasked with, I mean, when you are in a relationship where, like, the overarching goal is that you need to be able to work together, it does extend past just what you do on the field, right? Because if you are shitty to each other outside of that space, or if you don't understand somebody's motivations outside of that space, then inside of that space, it's going to affect those things. And I think that, like, even at this point, they get that. And what I like about this, like, line up and say something nice about everybody else because it's really cheesy. It feels really cheesy, you know, but they do it. And it just, in my, like, heart space, it felt very nostalgic to me in a way of, like, at this age, right? You're a senior, they're seniors in high school, whatever they are. They're, like, 17, 18. And you're an adult in a lot of ways, you know? You're able to, like, kind of form opinions about the world around you and, like, take care of yourself and what have you. But most of your information about, like, how to do things is still taken from the adults around you. And so what I love about this is that, like, they are doing a lot right in their own way, but the fact that Jackie is like, I know what to do, we have to stand in a line and say something nice about the other person, is just such, like, a, you know, like Britney Spears says it best, like, not a girl, not yet a woman, you know what I mean? Like, they're just like, they're on that line, man, and they're trying to fucking figure it out, and they're trying to figure out how to relate to each other, and they're trying to figure out how to do a good job, but they're still, like, kind of kids, and I just love it.
It's good. It's good. So you want to talk about the Misty of it all?
Yeah, one of the notes that I highlighted and was like, Kristen, don't forget to talk about it, is just buzz, buzz, buzz. And what I mean by buzz, buzz, buzz is Misty.
Misty's over the top enthusiasm at the pep rally. Here's the thing about the pep rally. Jackie says that the pep rally is so that the freshmen have something to jerk off to.
Oh my God.
The pep rally, the first thing we see the pep rally is the boys' baseball team, which we know from Jackie is mediocre, and everyone's like, yay.
Yeah, golf clap.
And then they're like, holy shit, hold on to your butt. Here comes the girls' soccer team. And they all run out, and it's like, good vibration. And everyone's bow, like bow, dancing. And the Yellow Jacket mascot is like booping around, and everyone's like clapping and buzz, buzz, buzz. Nobody's saying buzz, buzz, buzz louder than Misty. But do you remember your pep rallies, and did they look like this? I want to say that my pep rallies didn't feel like this, but I can't really remember. Mostly the pep rally space in my brain is taken up by Riverdale pep rallies, you know, which are very enthusiastic.
Okay, so two things. I don't think that the pep rallies at my high school pumped in music this loud. Like, I don't think they understood the power of loud music. But my biggest memories of pep rallies was skipping them because I wasn't a fucking kid that went to pep rallies. Like, that's really, so I don't actually have authentic information to present to the group because my biggest memory is trying not to pay attention to the pep rallies.
I see. Well, but I never skipped anything.
I wish that I was there. Like, I truly wish that I was fucking part of it. Because this soccer team running in slow motion to Good Vibrations out to form their little line is one of my favorite things that's ever happened.
Then they just, like, stand there and everyone's like, wow! Oh, my God! yep. Soccer.
But, yeah, Misty
Sports.
Is...
Teens.
Misty's enthusiasm is... scary. I think we can all agree.
Yeah.
It's, you know, her buzz, yeah. Her buzz, 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 and the coach. This is the assistant coach, is it right? It's like there's the adult coach, and then there's this.
Yeah,
other
there's
guy.
Coach Martinez. Then there's assistant coach, cute Ben, and then there is equipment manager Misty.
Buzz, 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 buzz.
Just so into it,
intense, and like. The other piece of Misty is that that we get from this episode is, like, she's very intensely a fan of this soccer team. We get adult Misty, who is very intense and scary in her job as a nurse or hospital worker. And the middle piece of Misty in this episode is that when Allie's leg barf fucking barf. Horrible, horrible. Nothing worse.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing worse than this will ever happen to a leg on this television show. Right, Jenny?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely not. But Misty runs from the fucking sidelines and is like literally like, I am prepared for serious trauma injuries. Like, I am here. So all of those things need to go in our fucking Misty notebook.
No, our blood splattered diary. Our blood-spattered journal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Not our Shanju prophecy, for example, you're in your vampire diary, our blood spattered journal.
Can we call it the Heinz journal?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we can. Into the Heinz journal with you.
Into the Heinz journal. Okay. A couple of other things, Jenny, that I wanted to talk about.
I'm ready.
One is I just want to talk about Natalie, young Natalie, because it's, you know, this is my second to third viewing of these episodes. So now I'm like steeped in shit. But I know that after this episode of television, I was here for teen Natalie and teen Natalie's fucking nerdy, fucking gothy friends, Kevin and the other guy who like fucking are out there in their Marilyn Manson. Sorry about that shit. T-shirts, but this is authentic to the 90s. I just loved Natalie. Yeah. From the jump, young Natalie was my favorite of all. And like, you know, now I'm a seasoned viewer. I have more nuanced opinions, but I just wanted to call out Marilyn Manson, Kevin, and Beeper, other guy, as like the guy. These are the friends I had in high school. 1000%. These are my friends. Not Natalie. She would be too cool. I would have a crush on Natalie. But like,
yeah, yeah.
The two dudes, fully the dudes I hung out with in high school, 1000%.
Aww.
And they were such good guys. They really were. They were good boys.
Nice boys.
Nice boys. I had this experience recently. I went down to Hastings down in like Westchester, and they had like a Pride festival in June, and I've like reached the age of the creepy adult who like is nostalgically looking at high school kids. Like there was this like group of these kind of kids sitting on this like ledge, and they were just like being fucking kids, just like fucking around, laughing about shit. But like they were good kids. You could tell they were like good goth kids. And I just like couldn't stop staring at them. And I was like, you have to stop staring at them, Kristen. You're 41 years old. But I just wanted them to know that like I was once them, you know, like I had a really big emotional experience with it. So that's all. I just wanted to share it with you.
Oh my God.
But you know, like all those times when we were weird goth kids. Well, I don't know if you would consider yourself a weird goth kid, but you at least hung out with the weird goth kids.
Definitely weird kid, not goth.
But like, probably if I saw somebody who was me now, then I'd be like, what does this weird fucking old lady fucking want? But like, probably she was just looking at me because she's like, I used to be you, kid. I used to be you. Okay, what else do you want to talk about before we end this, the inaugural episode of Doom Coming, a Yellow Jackets podcast?
Okay, I've been trying to find the name of the other friend everywhere that's not Kevin.
Oh,
it's Natalie and Kevin and another kid, and I've been looking for his name. I've clicked on every single actor that's listed in the pilot on IMDb and squinted at their photos to be like, is that... I just found a script, but in the script, Kevin and that kid don't have names. They just have like descriptors. Like Kevin is just called Goth. This script also has scenes that did not make it into the final cut of the pilot. So if you're curious, you can find this on the internet. Okay. Sorry, that was my little mission that failed miserably. What's left? What's left in the spoiler-free zone?
Right, right.
Or is it time?
It's almost time. Two things, I think, on this side of the fence for me. Is that right? Well, one thing is adult Nat. Important things, I think, that happen here. After they rescued... Oh. Right?
Sorry, I have an important Nat thing, too. Go on.
After they rescued us, I lost my purpose. Thanks to my time here, I finally know how to get it back. She goes into her storage space and like buffs up her fucking rifle gun. So, and then is sitting in the car in the last like montage. We see her in her car as Misty comes out of the hospital.
Yeah, watching Misty leave her work.
What's her purpose?
My important thing about adult Nat is that Dave, the storage unit guy, rolls up on her while she is checking out her Porsche, and she's like, "Hi, Dave," in the way that only Juliette Lewis can do. And I have this highlighted in my notes because every single time I watch this, I bump on it so hard. Vultures have been circling this storage unit. People have been like, "Oh, I want this cherry unit." And I've noticed when I'm checking on my unit that I never ever see anybody around this sir, that's simply not happening.
No,
does Dave want this unit?
But
Dave wants
this unit. And I think Dave's probably just trying to make conversation with this like wild lady that stored a Porsche and a rifle for like 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. True.
Okay, so the other piece that seems really important to talk about here is we kind of like mentioned it, but the Thaisa and Shauna diner scene feels like a thing we should write in our Heinz diaries. You know, we agreed, say no more than we have to, stay out of the public eye. If someone is digging, we are all fucked.
Oh my God, what could it mean? Also, there's been Nat's in rehab and there's been no sign of the others.
Right. So, you know,
very
shows...
interesting. Also, Jersey Diner, woo woo.
Yeah, you can't have a show set in Jersey without one scene being in a diner in the pilot episode. That's a rule. It's actually a rule. Standards and practices.
Yeah.
To be done. Jenny, before we go into the spoiler bin, which really I'm hoping you're going to lead because you're the Reddit queen. I wanted to say something about the score of the show because we've talked about the music placement, which I think is fucking phenomenal. I mean, we get like Smashing Pumpkins and PJ Harvey and fucking, I mean, we get everything that we've ever wanted music placement wise. But something that I learned, I think, when I was watching the show, but then forgot and relearned all over again, is that one of the people that's responsible for the score of the show is Anna Waronker. Is that how you say her last name?
So actually, I believe that the deal is, I'm like, somebody scored the pilot. Yeah. The music for the pilot was composed by Theodore Shapiro. I believe there was a bit of a delay because of COVID between the pilot and the rest of the season being filmed. And by the time it came back around and they were able to start shooting again, Theodore Shapiro was unavailable. So the rest of the season was scored by Craig Wedren of Shudder to Think, and Anna Waronker of That Dog.
Right. Okay, so you're right. You're right. In my song list, the reason I have Craig and Anna in my list is because of the theme song and the end credits. In the pilot.
So their end credits music made it into the pilot.
Yes. And
probably because that's like the last thing that goes in when you're like prepping a show to go.
Totally.
And we haven't seen the theme yet. We don't see the theme until episode 3, 4, 3.
Okay. But I was just really excited because I loved That Dog in the 90s.
Me too.
And like,
I'm a big fan of That Dog, and I had a Shudder to Think record that I loved also.
I don't know. I actually don't know Shudder to Think. Is Shudder to Think another 90s situation?
Yeah, they didn't have as, they weren't like as mainstream. That Dog was sort of like your...
That was like a, your that was favorite, like a subtle burn.
They were like your favorite alt band's favorite alt band.
Okay,
you know, they were like a little more under the radar, although they were on Geffen. They just like weren't like as monstrously popular. They were like a little bit more left of center. And Shudder to Think probably occupied a similar kind of like footprint. Craig has like a very interesting, cool, unique voice. I would recommend checking out the song Red House.
Nice. Yeah, I was thinking we could take out the episode with, I don't know, like Minneapolis or something. You know what I mean? Just like a That Dog.
Just go for it.
Yeah. The 90s was a weird time to like music because it's so funny to like go back and be like, oh yeah, That Dog. Who the fuck knows who That Dog is? But then like you, a child of the 90s, is like, well, That Dog was like very mainstream, but like then Shudder to Think. You know, it was like it felt like we were really like steeped in music in a way that is not possible in the time we live in right now.
Yeah, well, I think that barriers to entry to distribute music to the ways that we all consume it have been completely obliterated.
Totally.
So the field is, you know, incomprehensibly broader than it was,
right,
you know, 20, 25 years ago.
I don't know if we hit all of the points. We're experimenting with this loose, free format. So if we have missed something in the non-spoiler segment and you are so upset with us, you just need to let us know and we will talk about it next time. But
yes.
Jenny, I think now is the point in the episode when we put some kind of a sound cue in so that the folks at home know that we are moving over into What's the Buzz?
Yes, we're going to spoiler town. Take them to What's the Buzz?
What's the Buzz?
Okay.
Okay.
I only have one thing marked down for this segment, so you're really in charge.
Hit me.
My thing is, those girls didn't give a good goddamn about trigonometry.
Okay. So are you in the camp? Are you thinking about the popular theory that math is going to save them? I cannot for the life of me scrub my mind of thinking it's going to get them off the island.
Right,
this is the television show Lost. this is the book Lord of the Flies. They are on an island, obviously.
It is very Lost.
Math is going to get them out of the woods.
But like, yeah, so trigonometry is it, like, I remember you maybe like 4 to 5 episodes into your watch bringing to me a thread about trigonometry, and it made my head explode. And then, to my deep delight, the next episode that we watched in real time, I think Shauna's daughter is like, blah, 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 trigonometry. And I like have never screamed so loud at a television in my life.
I think that's in this episode. I think Shauna asks Callie if her teacher's going to let her retake
the
trig test. I thought.
There's a lot of, like, trigonometry is a very random thing to bring into conversation in a script so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring it in a good amount. So that is my one contribution to What's the Buzz is fucking, what is the trigonometry of it all? The little figure, I don't think we've seen the fig, right? We see the figure next episode. But he seems very mathematically shapen.
Oh, yeah. There is a certain,
a little symmetry, some fucking math happening there.
But
my big one. That's my big one.
Okay.
But what else do you have for What's the Buzz, Jenny?
Something I never thought about before this watch is, I think in the next episode, Travis says that his dad was out of his seatbelt and like got thrown out of the plane because he was helping people put masks on.
Yeah.
And we see at the very end of this episode, we see him put on Shauna's mask, and Shauna looks over at Jackie, and Jackie has a mask on, but they both were passed out because they took Jackie's mom's Valium.
Right.
So I wonder, I don't think that ever comes up for the rest of the season, but I wonder if it ever will.
Right.
We also see Coach Martinez give Javi the gum to chew for his ears. You remember chewing gum every time the plane took off?
Yeah.
And Javi holds on to that. Javi keeps that gum in his mouth for some time to come.
Right.
Something that there's been a lot of speculation about, like the idea that eventually the girls and possibly Ben, if he makes it, are going to split into two factions.
Right.
And that what we see at the end of the episode in the wilderness in this ep. Misty lifting the fur after they've feasted upon the flesh, and we see that weird little smile. There's been a lot of speculation that Misty actually just poisoned everyone else. In that, like, there's been speculation that that's like the bad, murdery, cannibal faction,
right.
And Misty is actually
infiltrated
with the other,
infiltrated the cannibals to kill them.
Yeah, so we'll see. It sounds like something Misty would get up to.
It does, but like I think also this show had us all believing some pretty big, wild theories. And like I remember reading a lot of articles at the end of the show that was like, you're all fucked because you grew up with TV with these like wild fucking things. But this show is actually just telling a story. Like it doesn't have to be as wild as you're making it, you know? So I'm curious to see how that continues to unfold as we get more seasons of the show. Also, Jenny.
Yeah.
I think that there was a thing, and I hope you just know, but I feel like I remember you sending me a thread about the song that was playing.
Oh,
right.
When Jeff sneaks yes. out of Jackie's room. Yeah. There was a screenshot going around with the lyric subtitles up in the Yellow Jackets Reddit. And it's the Liz Phair song Supernova. The lyric, "You walk in clouds of glitter," happens while like that, those words just come up across the bottom of the screen as Jeff is running across the lawn. And if you're here in What's the Buzz with us, you know
yeah.
that later Jeff will be walking in clouds glitter, of glitter.
Glitter, key plot point later in the series.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all I have for What's the Buzz in this episode, but this feels really important because there are things like this that I said to Jenny. I was like, we're going to lose track of all of the little fucking shit that's in these episodes that later is like, oh my God, was this there because of this? Was this there because of that?
Should we set up a Doom coming and then also a What's the Buzz?
Yeah, what's the
Discord
buzz
channel and subchannel?
Yeah, 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 totally.
So
totally.
That y'all can talk about the non-spoil, like the unspoiled, and also the spoiled.
Yeah. All right, Jenny, we're at the end of this episode because I need to literally leave this recording to go immediately late to a recording for Kiss Kiss Kiss, a First
Kill
podcast.
Kiss Kiss
with LaToya.
My deepest apologies to LaToya for keeping you.
So we need a sign off. Maybe we won't think of it this time, but what if at the end of every episode you're like, until next time, and then I say, I was standing, and you say you were there, and I say two worlds collided, and then I say they could never tear us apart. No.
Okay. Or what if we channel Jackie hanging out the side of her car, screaming at a local business's sign that was just like saying something generally encouraging about the boys' baseball team? What if we just yell, "We're going to fucking Nationals!"
Okay. Give me an until next time, and I'll shout it with you.
Until next time,
we're going to fucking Nationals.
Yeah, it's like medium.
It's medium. We'll work on it. Workshop it.
Yeah, we'll think of more things.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye bye.
I was at the Jabberjaw, the cutest boy I ever saw. He was standing behind me. He was such a dream. Kept looking right my way. I want to see him every day. Randy told me where he lives in Minneapolis. Hung around for closing time. I want to make him mine, all mine. Told my friends I want to leave. And they embarrassed me.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.